Good evening. We are in Leviticus chapter 3, going through the different offerings, the five different offerings here in the first few chapters, growing together in the Lord. In the last few offerings, we went through the burnt offering in chapter 1, which spoke of the Lord's total dedication. Remember, the burnt offering was given 100% to God. Nothing was withheld. Then we went through the meal offering, that the Lord is perfect in every way. And now we're going to speak of the peace offering. And this peace offering is not how to make peace with God. That's going to be in chapter 4, a different offering. This is something very special, and it really speaks to me. But before we jump into that, we need to have the Lord leading us. So let's pray. Father, we pray that you would be leading us through your word this evening, that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, and that we would experience peace with you. And as you lead us through this chapter, Lord, you would be leading us closer to yourself. We thank you and we praise you in advance for the word that you're going to do, the work that you're going to do through us and through your word this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Lord is always at work in me. He's changing me and molding me and showing me things, and then I slip a little bit here or there, and then he just brings me right back. And there's always a tension. There's always a growth. And there's always a project. The Lord knows my heart. He knows how he built me. I'm a blue-collar construction, go, 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 type A, high D, hurting people's feelings to get things done kind of guy, not very emotional. But there is something special. There is something that is supernatural about sitting with the Lord at peace. No work, no changing, no begging, me begging him for something. Just sitting with him, having peace with God, not making peace, not working out our salvation with fear and trembling, New Testament. Not this all-night wrestling with the Lord, like Jacob, the heel catcher, remember? Broke that thigh bone. Oh, the Lord can wrestle. No, simply sitting with the Master. You know, oftentimes we look into the Word of the glory of God, like we were talking about on Sunday. You know, we're beholding his face. We're in the Word of God like a mirror. It's revealing things to us. It's showing us our corruption. It's showing us our sins, our failures, the Word of God, the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And we just know we need to get to work. We got to change things. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We have to yield and we have to give up and lay aside the things of this world. We need to die to ourselves. There's action involved and there's change involved. And sometimes we get caught doing that all the time. And we need to just sit with the Master and experience peace with him. Before we jump into the text, I'm going to point out one more thing, and that is that there are many denominations and brothers and sisters in the fellowship in the body of Christ that live for experience that is not based in truth. And there are those that are so based in truth that they have no experience. They have the fundamentals, they have the doctrine, they have the knowledge, but they don't know what it is to experience peace with God. We have an offering here that's 100% dedicated to fellowship with God, no strings attached. Do you know what it is to fellowship with God with no strings attached? Tonight, we're going to talk about peace with God in Leviticus chapter 3. Let's jump into verses 1 through 5. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver about the kidneys, he shall remove. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So we're looking at this peace offering, and we see that there's a couple of different things. It can be a male or a female. It's a little bit different. It is involving the sacrifice of an innocent animal. That animal is life. It's given. The Bible is going to tell us here in the book of Leviticus later on that life is in the blood. That blood will be sprinkled on the altar. We come to God, and we experience peace with God through the sacrifice of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. It is through his blood, his work, which is completed, that we have fellowship with God, that we have peace with God. We must know as we continue through this chapter and every other chapter in the book of Leviticus that every sacrifice and every offering to God is speaking of our Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken the middle wall of separation." He is our peace. Present tense. He's not going to be our peace. We're not working towards peace. We're not coming out of peace. He is our peace. What is peace? Peace is the absence of conflict, the absence of struggle, the absence of war. Jesus is our peace. There are many, many today, I would dare say, and this is just an opinion, more people are struggling with anxiety and depression today than at any other time that I know of. I know I have a limited knowledge to and limited history to grasp from. More anxiety, fear of the unknown, fear of that which can't be controlled, fear of consequences, fear of the future, fear of our own emotions, fear of all these different things. And fear is internal conflict. Anxiety is internal conflict. It could be emotional, it could be chemical, it could be hormonal induced, I don't know. It could be all kinds of things. It could be based on a traumatic incident. It could be based on a childhood trauma. It could be based on your chemical makeup and your DNA. I don't know. Nevertheless, the conflict remains. And that conflict is laid at the cross. And we have peace with God. Peace with God. And we have it through our Lord Jesus. This is very similar to the sin offering of chapter 1, isn't it? And we know that Jesus paid the price for our sins. And notice the sin offering was what? First. When Jesus paid the price for our sins, made us a new creation, he is no longer on the cross. He rose from the dead. The veil was torn. And he ascended into heaven. And the Bible says he sits at the right hand of on high. He sits on the throne room of God. It is completed. The work is done. One of my favorite memories is I would work every summer landscaping with my grandfather. That's where my work ethic came from. It's in the blood and it's in the soil, meaning a lot of blood went into the soil. And we would get up work, and we would get up early, and we would work late. And I was taught from a very early age. And one of the best feelings ever in my life is we lived on this small ranch. It was like a 10-acre ranch on a river. And the shed, which was a big barn house where all the trucks would park and then all the equipment was about 150 yards from the house. The house was in the back. And one of my favorite feelings and memories is walking with my lunchbox, just beat to death. You know, when you can taste the sweat that's dried up on your face, worked so hard, and your skin is blistered, you're sore and you're achy, but you know the job was done. You know you completed it. You know you poured it out there. You know you have happy customers. You know you accomplished something by digging it out of the dirt. And it's that walk back to the house. You know why? Because it's finished. It's complete. See, but Jesus, he did all the work, and we get the walk. He did all the work. He did the whole day. He carried us the whole length. He's working on us, and he's transforming us, but the job is done. And through his sacrifice, through his blood, through his cross, we have peace with God. There are so many Christians today, they are not experiencing peace with God. The whole point of this is for the Old Testament believer to come to the tabernacle, give an offering of the sheep, and just fellowship with God. That's it. That's the whole purpose of this. To just sit there. There's praise offerings and meat offerings. There's grain offerings and harvest offerings. There's sacrifices for sin. This is simply sitting with God and enjoying fellowship. You can experience that right this second because he is our peace present. And I ask you, have you experienced the peace of God? The peace of God. All that baggage you're carrying, all that anxiety, all that stuff, you're worried about the next day's job. You're worried about the next... No. You're on the walk to the house. It's done. He did it. Before I continue in verses 6 and 8, how is it that in our minds, as Christians, we can trust our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to take our sins, to nail them on that cross and pay the punishment for that cross, that he can take the bridge from heaven and hell and gap it and change our destination from one to the other. We believe that by faith, right? By faith alone in Christ alone. And we say, yep, amen. He did the work. But when I say we have peace with God, oh yeah, no. You don't know me. You don't know my circumstance. You don't know my background. Listen to what you're saying. Took your dead corpse, slave to sin, paid the punishment, bridged heaven and hell by faith alone, in Christ alone, and you telling me he can't handle this? You telling me you can't sit in front of this altar and just experience peace with God right now by faith? You got this, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And there's that feeling. And you can experience that same feeling that I had as a young man learning how to get up and go to work every day in your walk with the Lord. And that's how you can be growing in the Lord and being conformed in his image and still be wrestling with the flesh and still resisting the devil so that he may flee and still living in a world that we're not supposed to love but to be in salt and light and experience peace with God by faith, the same way we do all those other things. So let's go through verses 6 through 8. If his offering as a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. So now we're speaking of the sheep. It could be a sheep or a goat, we're going to see later. We see here that peace with God does cost something. We see that it is painful. But what does the person that's giving the peace offering do? Puts their hand on the offering. And what are they doing there? They're identifying with yes. Yes, there is a problem between me and God. There is sin in the way. There's separation. I don't have fellowship with God. But I want to enjoy fellowship. We have done the sin offering. We've covered our sins. But I'm going to identify that there needs to be a way, a mediator between me and God to have this peace. And then that's it. That person sits back. They're done. And we lay our hand of faith on the Lord Jesus, and we say, Lord, I don't deserve peace with you. I can't do it. And this hurts. But you have paid the price. You have done the work. You laid on the altar. You laid down the wood. You carried the wood to Calvary. You have carried me. You have given me new life. I identify and I know that you are the one who brings peace. And then you have peace with God. He justifies us. And he does it all through faith. And we have this present peace because of his eternal work. And he said, it is finished. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you guys, I know you just dragged yourself in here by faith, and I praise God for it. Some of you have been beat to a pulp. The world has you. Circumstances have you. Ministries have let you down. People have let you down. And you're here by faith, and I praise God for it. But some of you have been running this marathon and not even taking a break. And this evening, the Word of God, the living Word of God, like waters of living Word, in Ephesians chapter 5 says, washing your wives in the water of the Word. I got a little water for you, a little thirst quencher. I'm that little guy on the marathon with that little cup of water. They're running 20-something miles, and there's that guy like, I got something for you. I got some peace for you. Except Jesus says that out of us, through him, is fountains of living water. Like you can't outdrink it. And you can experience that this evening by faith, and it's through his blood. Take a deep breath right now. Just take a deep breath. I'm not usually one of those action kind of people, but just do it. Peace with God. All your problems. Right now before the altar of God, you have fellowship with him. You have peace. It doesn't matter if you got a sheep, you got a goat, you got a bull, you got an ox. It doesn't matter, male, female. As long as it's perfect, as long as it's your full sacrifice, as long as it's our Lord, his blood, he has done the work. We have peace. Now, I know there's a couple of you still out there, because I know human nature, that are just still doubting. Yeah, this is a great message for everyone else, but they don't know my problems. I know. Listen. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Either you're wrong or God's wrong. Okay? For those of you that need it real blunt, either you're wrong or God's wrong. Take your pick. Can't make you choose. I know who my bet's on. Through faith alone in Christ alone. See, we don't have to go to an altar, and we don't have to sacrifice of our stuff, our material, our animals, our finances, our tithing. None of that brings us peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever met a Christian that's just so full of anxiety all the time? They're just always upset. They have a consciousness of their sin. They have a deep conviction, but they're missing out on fellowship with God. Moments like communion, when you have fellowship with God. Moments like worship, when you're praising him, your eyes are off yourself. Like receiving the word of God in a Bible study, a word of prophecy from him, where he's speaking to your soul. He's speaking to your very heart. He's speaking to your deep-rooted difficulties, and you're just receiving, and you're realizing, Lord, I don't deserve this. Of course not. That's the beauty of it. It's done. And it's yours. Don't look to your husband for peace. Don't look for the lack of husband for peace. Don't look to the government. Don't look to your pastor. Don't look to yourself. Definitely don't look to yourself. Hey, scripture says there ain't nothing good in there. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. Not me. That's what the Bible says. And you're going to your deeper innermost being to find peace? Please. No way. That's like sharing a drink with my three-year-old. You don't know what's in there. I'm going to go to living waters. I'm going to go to the pure water of the Word. I'm going to go to fellowship with God, peace with him. So lambs, goats, bulls, ox, anyone of the herd. We also talked a little bit about cutting up fat and kidneys and all this. Remember, the book of Leviticus is a book of instructions for the peace, like for the priest. This is how you cut it up. This is what you do with it. This is how you share it. Let's continue, verses 9 through 11. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone. And the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, this is when things are going to get a little fascinating. I was watching this show the other day. I don't remember what it was called. It was like different professions, and it was professionals in that profession, like the elite, and then they were sharing their craft, because I love craftsmanship. I love seeing what people do with their hands and their minds. And this particular one was a butcher, and he was butchering a cow. He did an entire cow in 15 minutes. It was incredible. And as he's doing it, he's showing every cut, how he does it, what each part is called, and every little, and I'm just like amazed. I think the guy was from Argentina or something like that. It was amazing. Old school, with two knives, sharpening the thing, talking about it, 15 minutes. And I think, man, that's what the priests must have been like. Like every part, they know exactly how they're going to shape it. They're doing it thousands of times, over and over and over again. And to us, it might not mean anything. But to them, this is detailed instructions. Now, there are some details that I learned studying and I want to point out with you. One of them is in the verse 9, it says, it's fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone. Read that at face value. That doesn't mean anything to me. Doesn't even sound good. It turns out that in ancient cultures, this is the absolute most primo portion. It is also about 7 pounds, and it's big. It's the whole back portion, and it's got like super fatty portions of it. It's supposed to be very tasty. And this portion is given to God. The very best portion is given to him. And then they take the fattiest part, which has all the flavor. I mean, come on. And they dedicate, again, all the fat goes to the Lord. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But in that culture, at that time, the very best portions are being given to God. Now, the rest of it, verse 11, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. There is fellowship. The priests get to eat some. The person bringing the sacrifice gets to eat some. And then the Lord's portion is dedicated to him. And they have fellowship. And you may think to yourself, oh, that's not, I mean, who do I hang out with that's a friend of mine that I give them everything that's the best and then I get the least? Like, that doesn't sound very good. I tell my kids, you know, about Christmas. I say, Christmas is the only birthday where everyone gets gifts except for the person whose birthday it is. Like, that's not very nice. But that's our Lord, isn't it? So why does the Lord want the very best? There's a dichotomy there. A dichotomy means something that seems the opposite, but it's not. You see, the Lord wants to have the very best fellowship with us, and he wants us to experience the peace that he's given us. The problem is that we give him the leftovers. See, we're not giving him the best. We give him the leftovers. Well, what do you mean, Mike? I'm not going home and giving him my filet mignon. That's not what he wants. Remember, to obey is better than to sacrifice. The Bible says he's not interested in the blood of bulls and goats. What is he talking about? Well, what are the leftovers for us? We give him the leftovers of our day. You know, we do our schedule, we get all our stuff, and then, you know, if we got a little bit of stuff in the margin, we'll give it to the Lord. We give him the leftovers of our energy. You know, if I'm not that tired, I'll get up and read, or I'll stay up late and read with him if I'm in a good mood. We give him the leftovers of our service. You know, we're going to work 8 to 5 if you work part-time, you know, 6 to 10, and then we're going to come home and we're going to give him, or we're going to come to church and we're going to give him 45 minutes. I had to write that one down. I go, what is, oh. We're giving him the leftovers of our mind. I mean, what's left over at your mind at the end of the day? Now, we talk about having peace with God and that it's ever present. He's given it to us. You see, but if you really want to enjoy peace with God, you really want to enjoy fellowship with God, how much better would you be if you gave your best to God? You see, when we give our best to the world, when we give our best to finances or to business or to our families, when we give our best to anyone else, we do receive, but all of it's given away. All of the best of our day is given away. Have you ever seen that timeline? It says, oh, you start working at 18. They started late, I guess. And then you stop working at 65. And then you have 10 years in the end and 10 years at the end to enjoy everything. And then it's like, take the day off and don't let your boss mess with you or something like that. And it talks about giving your whole life away. But the Lord is the opposite. He tells us first our last and the last our first. To gain your life, you must lose your life. When you give God the very best of you, the very best of your time, the very best of your service, the very best of your offerings, you receive, you cannot outgive him. You receive the best back. Give the Lord an hour of your day. I'm going to give you a challenge. Many of you are working hard. Even those of you guys, some of you guys that are retired are working hard. And I'm like, how are you even so busy? I want you to take your lunch break, the highlight of your day, 1 hour. Take your lunch break. I don't even get a half hour. I get 30 minutes, whatever. Take your 30 minutes. Take your hour. Use a sick day. Use a vacation day. Give it to God. Go into your car, turn on that worship music, open your Bible, spend some time with him. Go before this altar, prepare it, have peace, experience the peace of God. Don't bring him your problems. Don't bring him the work. There's no extra credit. Sit and have peace with God. You remember Isaac in the Old Testament, we were in the book of Genesis? It said he sat in the field and meditated with God, experiencing the peace of God. Give God the best hour you have and see how much better you are for it. I dare you. I triple dog dare you. It'll revolutionize you. See, the more you give the best to God, the more you receive back. And we say, but Lord, I only have so much time. You know how difficult it is. We are to look at Jesus Christ as our great high priest. He's our master. And he said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had one tunic. What more do you need? Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But what did he have? He spent all night in prayer and fellowship with God. And we have peace with God. So the very best is going on the offering, the fat tail, the entrails, the kidneys, all the fatty lobe, all of that stuff is being burnt to the Lord, it's being given to God. And they're eating now. They're fellowshipping together. Just eating and enjoying a meal. To me, that's like the best kind of fellowship. No jibber jabber, no drama, don't want to hear about your day. You just want to sit there and enjoy a meal. Relax. It's over now. You made it. Relax with God. Experience. We are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Sound doctrine and experience in our spirit peace with God. Verses 12 through 16. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on its head and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle his blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it his offering, and an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. The two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is funny. I'm reading the commentators, and I'm reading them from different timelines, right? So, because I don't have like all 2020 commentators. I got some that are a little bit newer, some that are older. And some of them are saying, well, oh, this was the Lord protecting them from bad cholesterol and arteries. And I'm thinking like, well, like 6 months ago, they're telling us to eat all fat in our diet, and that makes us healthier. And then, so they're trying to have all these different things about the different diets and whatever, and don't give me none of that nonsense. This is talking about giving the Lord the very best. And in that cultural context, that's what it was. It was strange for foreigners, for non-Jews to come around and to see them burning these parts on an altar to their God. That was just strange. You gave it to the strongest people in your culture. You gave it to your kings and your soldiers. They had the very best. And if you didn't give them the best, they're going to take it. And you were going to eat the leftovers. They might throw it to you like to the dogs. But not so. They were to be different. One other thing that I wanted to point out is that all this fat is burning on this huge altar. Have you ever seen a grease fire on a barbecue? You ever shut that thing and then the grease is pouring down and then it's just blowing up out there and your wife's yelling at you, it's on fire. And you go out there, you open it and you're trying to not. Imagine this huge altar and all this fat is being burned up there and it's billowing up to the Lord. And more sacrifices are coming and more. The priests are just working and working and cutting it and throwing up there, and they're taking grain offerings and oil, and they're taking the incense, and they're taking the fat, and they're taking the tray. All this stuff is happening over and over and over again. What did it smell like? What did it feel like? What did all the busyness? But in the midst of that chaos, you have peace with God. You have fellowship with God. The church is a busy place. We got service. We got servants. We got radio ministries. We got janitorial work to be done. We got kids screaming. We got some people are so excited and worshiping the Lord. We got other people that are hurting and need to be taken care of and ministered to. We have international ministries now, and we got all these different activities. And some of you come here and you just work harder than when you work at home. And I'm telling you, just stop it for a minute and just have peace with God. The same way you might with me on a weekend having a tri-tip, if you're from California, you know what that is. Just relax. Relax with God. It is finished. We have peace with God. And in verse 17, it says something strange. It says, then this shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. Perpetual. These offerings are to be continuous, to keep going. Perpetual statute, that's going to happen 17 times throughout the book of Leviticus. It's going to say these offerings are a perpetual offering. This is to keep on going. Got a problem. There is no altar. There is no more temple. The nation of Israel, without blood, there is no remission of sins. What is going on to Jews that are not following the Messiah? Where are their sins going? They're not making any more sacrifices. They're preparing the temple. They're preparing the temple. It's ready. Go to thetempleinstitute.org. They got all the parts, pieces. They got the priest. They got the cow to dedicate it. They're ready to roll. They just need the real estate. Waiting for the prices to come down. It's on its way. Well, what is happening to their sin now? Well, they have what they call the Day of Atonement, and they all fast for one day, and then they think it's gone. But the Bible tells us clearly, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The Bible is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and it's through his blood that we are once and for all saved. It is completed. It is done. And so 17 more times throughout this book, we're going to see perpetual statute throughout your generations. Well, these statutes are perpetual. They are continuing, and they are completed through our Lord Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but we play Monopoly once a decade when we forget how angry I get when I play it. And it says, do not pass go, do not collect $200, go straight to jail. Right? So you do it, and you go there, and you're done. It's completed. Well, all these offerings were to point not to jail, but to heaven. And the work is done. You're already there. Destination, complete. We have peace with God. This perpetual sacrifice is completed through our great high priest, our eternal sacrifice, our lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Well, we're going to close this evening in prayer, intercessory prayer, one for another, praying for our nation, praying for each other. And I pray this evening as we sit that you are experiencing peace with God by faith alone in Christ alone. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We pray that you would continue to guide and direct us. Lead us by still waters, green pastures, Lord. Sitting at your feet like Mary, that which is greater. Just laying our perfume at your feet. pouring it on you, just dedicating ourselves to you, Lord. We just want to spend this rest of this hour in prayer, Lord, fellowshipping with you. We thank you so much for the work that you have done and completed. In Jesus' name.